I'm thankful to be in church.
Amen.
Where church is the way it ought to be.
Come on.
It didn't take me long to realize that I'm in a house tonight where it's all right to sing about the blood of Jesus.
You've been in it where they were. Come on.
It's a sad generation we're living in when that's foreign in the average church.
You're right.
It's a sad generation when you don't hear people testify in the middle of the choir singing. What a blessing that was to me tonight. What a blessing it is to be able to open the genuine, inspired, inerrant, and incorruptible Word of God. And I'm honored to be in this place. I love your pastor. And may I say, if you belong to this church, you ought to love your pastor.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
You ought to love his wife and family and
amen.
Take good care of them.
Amen.
But above all, we need to love Jesus tonight
amen.
Because he's worthy.
Yes.
Now, if you have a copy of the Word of God, I'm interested in the first chapter and that of the book of 1 John. Not the Gospel of John, but the book of 1 John in the New Testament and the first chapter. And I'd love to begin reading in verse number 3. I'm thankful to be in this place. I'm thankful that the Lord is in this place. I'm thankful you're in this place. And I want you to hear what the Word of God has to say in verse number 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full.
Amen.
This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now in verse number 6, he's going to tell it plain, and he's going to tell the truth, and he's going to make that way straight and narrow. He said, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie
right.
And do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. I'm glad the Bible doesn't end there.
Amen.
And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. My Heavenly Father, for the next few moments, would you get Jeremiah out of the way? And Lord, send your Spirit to do the preaching tonight. Without you, we could do nothing. But through Christ, all things can be accomplished that are according to your will. Thank you for this place that's still standing on the gospel. And this pastor that still believes in preaching your word. And these people that have come out on this Sunday night to sing and testify and to hear what thus saith the Lord. Now, Father, I pray that you'll hold back the forces of hell. I pray that no opposing force and no hindering spirit would dwell in this place, and that the only one that moves here tonight be the Holy Ghost. And if there's one here whose eyes have never been opened to the truth of the gospel, may this be the night that they see Jesus high and lifted up. In his name we pray. Amen. If you, like me, are the type of person who is interested in the wording of the Bible, then you noticed in our text tonight that a key word in this passage is the word fellowship. Now, fellowship is not something that is used exclusively in a church setting. I've heard it used in all types of settings. The English dictionary defines fellowship as companionship or friendly association. It basically means you get together with people you like and people that you enjoy being with, and you spend time together. And we even have places in our churches called the fellowship hall, where God's people get together and they talk with one another and they eat. It ain't a meeting if we ain't eating. But that is not specifically the full intent of the biblical meaning of the word fellowship. To be in a biblical fellowship, we get the sense that we have a partnership in a common goal and a common cause. It is a joint participation in an endeavor. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul spoke in Philippians 1 and 5 about our fellowship in the gospel. Now, outside of this building, we can fellowship about a whole lot of things. But when we come in here, the centerpiece and the focal point of our fellowship must be around the gospel of Jesus Christ. Seemed to me that every song sung tonight centered around the gospel of Jesus Christ. And every message that is biblical at some point will bring out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that's where our fellowship lies. Our commission and our sharing and our fellowship is around His gospel. And may I say tonight that the Bible knows nothing of Lone Ranger Christianity. There is this idea in the ecumenical world that as long as you believe in God, it's not important where you go to church or if you go to church. But may I say that in the Bible, not only are we commanded to believe, but we are commanded to belong. And that to a local Bible-believing fellowship of God's people. If church is the way it ought to be, then it is a fellowship of the people of God around the gospel of His grace. You and I share a common life. That's the life of Christ that's been given to us as a gift of God. We share a common purpose to glorify God. I stopped by North Wilkesboro tonight to glorify God. I hope and pray that you came through those back doors to glorify God. If you did, then we share a common purpose. We have a common love. It's really simple. Love God, love people. We have fellowship in that. And then we have this common mission, which is to take this gospel and preach it to every creature around the world. That includes the nursing homes, Brother Chris. That includes the jails. That includes all across America, at West and to the Indians. And that includes supporting those who are carrying the gospel to the ends of the earth. That is our common mission in this fellowship. Now, can I say that this world, though they don't know what they're longing for, everybody is longing to be part of something. feel like they belong. But we're becoming an increasingly isolated people. Think back with me to a time when we had houses with front porches. Nowadays we've got back porches and we got a back deck and we got a privacy fence, and nowadays we have garage door openers where you just drive up with your tinted windows and push a button, go in the garage, shut the door, and never risk any contact with your neighbor. Can I ask you tonight, do your neighbors know that you believe the gospel?
That's good.
I didn't necessarily ask you if your neighbors know what your income level is. I didn't ask you if your neighbors know what your political affiliation is. Above all, I want to know this. Do your neighbors know you're not ashamed of the name of Jesus and the gospel of Christ? Most people don't even know their neighbors nowadays. We're becoming a nation of strangers and increasingly isolated people. And by the way, loneliness is taking a toll in the world, especially amongst those who don't know God. How many people have called me or met with me who were contemplating suicide, who said something similar to this? I just feel like nobody cares. You know, if I could just feel like that somebody cared and I had some sort of sense of purpose in this world, maybe I wouldn't end my life. Well, may I say to you with all due respect, and I don't mean to browbeat. I certainly don't mean to be on a rabbit farm. But may I say that it's the responsibility of you and I as God's people to stand up and say, we're somebody that cares. We have compassion. We care about you. I don't care where you've come from, where you've been, what you've done. I want to love you and share the gospel with you that can change your life. What an opportunity for influence in this lonely, isolated generation. Now think about the possibilities for fellowship. Now in just this short little text, the Bible presents numerous areas of fellowship. Verse 6 talked about a fellowship with darkness. Now, I won't bore you with the context, but the book of 1 John is basically about, here's how you know you have eternal life. And verse 6 teaches us that if the pattern of a person's life is walking in darkness, then that individual knows nothing of walking with God. And my friend, listen, now, back where we come from in Knox County, we have a generation of people who say they have fellowship with God, yet the pattern of their life demonstrates that they are walking in darkness. Oh yes, you cannot be partnered with darkness and partnered with God at the same time. John says, those who practice such a thing, they lie and do not the truth. I'm not speaking tonight about a person who slips into darkness. The Holy Ghost convicts them and they repent and come running back to God. That's not what I'm speaking about. I'm talking about a person that has walked in darkness for years and years with no conviction, no chastisement. The scripture says they are walking in darkness and they do not know the truth of the word of God. Fellowship with God and fellowship with darkness is impossible because Ephesians 5:11 proclaims, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. 2 Corinthians 6, the apostle spoke of what fellowship or what communion has light with darkness. I'll tell you how to get the darkness to flee. Just turn the light on. Brothers and sisters, true fellowship begins with Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ is left out of any relationship or any activity, there can be no biblical fellowship. Number two, he spoke of a fellowship with the divine. I like that a whole lot better than the fellowship of darkness. As believers, he says, we have fellowship with the Father. Am I talking to anybody tonight who is glad that we have the opportunity to fellowship with the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ? Tonight we have access to go before the very throne of God that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. I'm glad tonight that I have a Father who can do all things. I'm glad I have a Father that I can call on, be it 3 in the afternoon or 3 in the middle of the night. I can fellowship with the Father. I'm for the church. I'm absolutely 100% a church man, but may I go on record and say that you can have fellowship with God when you're driving down the highway and somebody starts singing about who we are and what we are in Jesus. The Holy Spirit can come into your vehicle and you can fellowship with God. Amen. Fellowship with God in your prayer room. Fellowship with God in your home. Remember, this is partnership in a common cause or a mission. When you were saved by grace, and if you're saved, it's by grace.
Amen.
Don't come unplugged on me now. Don't make me come down there and preach to you. I got more moves than X-Lax. I come down there and tell you, if you're saved, it is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. If you're saved by grace, you've become partners with God. Paul said we're laborers together with God to do what? To make His glory known throughout the world. To let this world know there is a Father and He has a Son and His name is Jesus. And if you ever have any hope of going to heaven when you leave this world, you'll have to go through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is the fellowship of darkness. There is the fellowship with the divine. Then there is the fellowship of the darling Son of God. To be partners with Jesus in a common cause. 1 Corinthians 1:9 said, God is faithful. I can stop right there and preach a while. How many of you? God's been more faithful to you than you have to Him. I'm raising both hands. God's been better to me than I've been to Him. He's been more faithful and loving and merciful and compassionate with me. God is faithful, by whom you were called under the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We are to walk by faith, and I know that's not easy. But we're to walk by faith and not by sight. How do we do it? The resurrected life of Christ is abiding in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we must daily be depending on Jesus Christ. I want to caution you here just a little bit. And many of you have walked with God longer than I've been alive. But may I say that walking with God and fellowshipping in the light is not always an easy or a smooth road. As a matter of fact, the apostle spoke in Philippians 3 about the fellowship of his sufferings. Anybody been there? I won't go into a lot of detail, but I'll just say this. You'll learn more about what it means to walk with God and depend on God when you go through suffering than you will when everything's smooth sailing. Amen. You can expect opposition and persecution when you walk in the light. But the fellowship with the Son of God makes it worth it all. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can glorify God and see people drawn to Christ. I want to come down now to this fourth point. And I want to lay this before you tonight. There is not only a fellowship with darkness and a fellowship with the divine. There's a fellowship with the darling Son of God. And then there is a fellowship with the dear saints of God. Thank you, Lord. Now let's get this right. Our fellowship must first be vertical. Amen. Has to be.
Yes.
And if it's vertically right, then it can be horizontally right. If it isn't vertically right, you can forget it being horizontally right. You can't walk in darkness Monday through Saturday and come in here and automatically flip a switch and walk in the light. The vertical fellowship with God must be right. And then we can have fellowship with the rest of the body. As I said, there are no Lone Ranger Christians in the Bible. Those who truly fellowship with God will fellowship with one another. Are you saved? Then you are my brother or my sister in Christ. We belong to the family of God. And sometimes family members pick at each other, get mad at each other. But at the end of the day, we're still family. And we still ought to fellowship. In Acts chapter 2, when 3,000 souls were birthed into the church, the Bible said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. You get right with God, then you get in fellowship with God's people. Why? Because we need each other. I need you. I need men of God in my life. I need praying women in my life. I need the encouragement of the people of God. And you do too. I'm glad you're here on a Sunday night in fellowship with God and His people. There are so many that do not see the need and the necessity of getting together like this. I hope you see it as an essential tonight. Because disunity will destroy the work of God. Let me slow down and be real plain. When there is disunity in the church, we lose our power of influence in this world. We stop working together for the common goal of glorifying God. I don't know about you, but I'd rather kiss a cobra than cause disunity in the Lord's body. Now we hear a lot of preaching from Proverbs 6 about all those terrible things the Lord hates. We hear a lot of preaching about those hands that shed innocent blood. And I'm as against that as any other. But you know what else is on that list? Same list. He that soweth discord among the brethren. If you're a gossiper, if you're a discord sower, if you're somebody who's trying to bring division in God's church, the Lord puts you in the same category as those whose hands shed innocent blood. Don't sow discord among the people of God. I don't know anybody here, but if you're sitting here tonight and you got a problem with a brother or sister, you ought to run to them and get it right before you leave this building tonight. If you're struggling to say, I'm sorry and I was wrong, here's an altar where you can come and say, Lord, help me swallow my pride and make things right with my brothers and my sisters. Because this fellowship thing doesn't automatically happen just because you walk into this building.
Right.
Walking into a garage doesn't make you a car. Walking into a barn doesn't make you a horse. Walking into this building doesn't put you in fellowship with God and His people. So we see now some prerequisites for fellowship. What has to happen before this genuine, life-changing fellowship takes place? Well, let me say, we've got to adopt this common vision. You can come and you can sit in a worship service or a Sunday school class. You can experience friendliness. You can experience compassion. You can even experience worship. But you cannot experience fellowship until you adopt this common vision and get on board with the ministry of the church. I sensed in my spirit as I listened to the men talking in the prayer room that this church is interested in outreach. I pity the churches where I've been that believe the gospel was to be confined to the four walls of their building. It seems to me there is an interest in reaching out. And if you're going to be part of the fellowship, you've got to get on board with that. I've seen people in my time of pastoring come into the church and get excited and start growing, become fruitful. I've seen others come and never get plugged in. And eventually, they started drifting away. They didn't get in on the fellowship of the saints. They didn't connect and become part of what we're trying to do. You say, what's the difference? Well, I'll tell you this. It has nothing to do with age. Here's a room full of people of varying ages. And it looks like to me you've got one common goal, the glory of God. It has nothing to do with personality types. I'm sure there's plenty of those in this room. It has nothing to do with your economic level nor your education level. Here's the only difference. Some people are involved in ministry, and some are still sitting in their comfort zone. Some are in the boat. Others are walking on the water to go with Jesus. The call of God tonight is we step out of their comfort zone, stretch ourselves, and do things that are completely, totally dependent on God to get it done. If you're depending on yourself, you're still walking in the flesh. Brother, we've got to attempt things that are contingent on God moving. If He doesn't move, our ship is sunk. You've got to get involved in this vision, this idea of longing to see God glorified. I don't know if it's still around, but several years ago, there's a fast food restaurant, Burger King, that had their slogan, "Have it your way." And many churches, people walk around with Burger King religion. I want to have it my way. If you don't get anything else I said, you catch this. Church is not about my way nor your way. It's about His way. If you're right with God, if you're involved in this fellowship, then your heart is saying, Lord, whatever you want from my life. Adopt this vision. Secondly, accept diversity. Genuine fellowship is enhanced when you realize God wired all of us up a little differently. Did He not? I'll ask Him later what He means. We are told in Romans 15:7, receive one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Did God receive you? Even though you weren't worthy? and we ought to receive one another because we're in Christ. Yes, we have differences. Our spiritual gifts are different. Our personality types are different. Our life experiences are different. But we've all been to the same fountain, filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And if the blood of Jesus has cleansed you and cleansed me, we must accept one another. Yes, we're many members of one body, diverse, but all greatly valued. Let me bring it down now to the product of fellowship. What is the end result of a church where people are in fellowship with God and fellowship with one another? There's an inward product, and it's unity. The phrase "one accord" in Acts 2 comes to mind. That's not a description of a Honda. That's the description of a church that has accepted one another in Christ and adopted the common cause that we have in Jesus. That stark unity that we have is worlds away than what this world has. Look at all the turmoil in the political world. People can't even get along long enough to ensure that thousands of middle-income working government workers can get their check and earn the living that they've worked for. Disunity in the world. Who amongst that crowd wants to look at a disunified church? Those that are disunified need to see a church that is unified in Jesus. But I have noticed disunity doesn't really arise from people who are passionate about the ministry of the church. If I lose you here, that's okay. But in my experience, most disunity has risen up from people who just had too much time on their hands.
Come on.
And all they were interested in was strife and bickering and complaining. A church where that type of atmosphere exists will not be one where God is blessing. If you have that sort of thing, lay it down at the back door before you enter the house of worship. When fellowship takes place, there's an inward unity. That unity was so strong in that prayer room tonight.
Come on, brother.
As I drive home tonight, I'll be thinking about the unity that exists at the Calvary Baptist Church. But don't let it stay here.
Amen.
The inward product is unity. But the outward product is influence.
Come on.
When the gifts of the church, as people are working together in the power of the Holy Spirit, and unity is there, that attracts people. Disunity drives away.
Come on.
Real biblical fellowship draws people in. And I want this to be a church of great influence for Christ in this county. As an evangelist, I want that for every church. I want every church that believes in the true gospel of God's grace to become a great lighthouse in the community where they are, and to shine the light of the gospel to everyone that passes by. And I would love to know that God is using Calvary Baptist Church as a great influence in this county and the surrounding counties, and yay, everywhere you reach with the gospel. That can only happen when true biblical fellowship takes place. And so tonight, if you've never given your life to the fellowship of God and His people, I urge you to respond to the Holy Spirit. If you're in this house tonight, let me speak to you 1 minute before I close. You did not walk into this house by accident.
Come on.
If you're here tonight and you've never met Jesus Christ,
come on, brother.
It's not luck that you're here. It's not just a happen chance. It's not a circumstance. It's not an accident that you're sitting where you're sitting.
Right.
I'm saying to you, you have one hope of going to heaven when you leave this world.
Right.
And that hope is Jesus Christ.
You're right.
And I hope the Holy Spirit shows you
yes.
your need to repent and believe the gospel. And then tonight, if you're here and you've been born again, I'm so glad. May I ask you, are you daily walking in fellowship with God? Remember now, you can't walk in darkness and walk with God at the same time. Are you daily in fellowship with God? And are you in fellowship with the people of God? If not, I beg you, listen to the Holy Spirit. Repent! Make sure your heart is in love with God and in love with people. Let's bow our heads for a moment, please. Heavenly Father, I do not ask you to honor me. I ask you to honor your word that has been preached tonight. Father, right now, I want to ask you for the drawing power. If there's someone in our midst that's never met Jesus Christ, may the Holy Spirit draw them even now. I pray for those that were mentioned in the prayer room. I keep thinking, Lord, about this elderly individual that's never been saved. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll send the Holy Spirit to visit with them again. If there's one in our midst lost, Lord, I pray you'd draw them. Father, if there's some in our midst tonight that have been saved but are not walking in the light, may you convict them even now that they come and repent. And Father, if there's some here that are out of fellowship with your people, disunity exists in their heart, I pray that you'd encourage them and exhort them by your Spirit even now to make that thing right before they leave this building. Heavenly Father, send the Holy Spirit to move in this time of invitation. If there's one to be given, may the Holy Spirit give it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together, please.
Two quick questions. Are you still working over there?